So I tell you, this power which I speak is right here in your own wonderful human imagination. Don't turn to another. Don't turn to anything on the outside. It's all within. The kingdom of heaven is within you. And God is in his heaven. If I turn within, where I turn? I turn to my own wonderful human imagination. And then I imagine what I want as real in my will and persuade myself that it's true. To the degree that I am self-persuaded, it becomes true. It actually clothes itself in what the world calls reality. But the reality is not the visible thing they see. The reality is the unseen state, which I've imagined. You take the oath, cut it down. It renews itself by the invisible state. The little lamb you slay with the knife. But the reality of that lamb, that form that is forever, is unseen by man. So here, in this wonderful world of ours, you have the power. You don't need financial power. That wouldn't do it. You can buy hell. You can buy respect, or you could buy it for a little while, but they don't really respect you. Let the money go, and they don't respect you. You don't need anything in the world of Caesar to buy what you want. Come, you're told, buy it, without price, without money. When you say, buy it without price, well, then you see it's not Caesar's coin that you'll be. You use your own wonderful human imagination. I'll give you this story. A friend of mine down south, he went to this barber shop. There were four barbers. He went to the boss barber first, and after about three visits, the barber couldn't take him this day, and he took the fourth one, the last year. He rather liked the way this man cut his hair. He got talking to him, and he realized the man loved barbering. He loved it. That's all my friend needed. You really love it? He said, I just love it. I wouldn't do anything else but cut hair. I just love it. And this is what my friend did. He imagined that man, the head of the shop, didn't consult him, didn't consult the boss barber, didn't consult anyone. Just this one. He liked him. He imagined that he was the head of not this shop, but a shop. 6 weeks later, the barber decided, the owner, to unload the shop. How he raised the money, my friend never told me, but he bought the shop and moved from the fourth man, the low man on the totem pole, to the boss barber. In the last year, this one so loves it, he came here to the city. About 2 months ago, there was some meeting here, a contest among barbers. He brought two of his barbers with him. One was committed, couldn't come that day. He brought two. They took back, out of five prizes, they took back four. He won two, a first and a second, and two of his barbers won 2 seconds. He just entered another contest of the entire region, that is the seven western states, and he won it, plus $1,000. The big plaque is now on his wall, all because of my friend's use of imagination. This man has a terrific control of this power. He's an advertising agent. About, I would say, the early part of this year, his boss said to him, this is our best account, and I don't want to lose it. But you know the industry today is on the skids, and we must do something to pull it up. While he sat down, he said, now, if imagining creates reality, my only problem would be to face these men who believe themselves so wise and persuade them to let me go all out with my campaign from the premise that is already an accomplished fact. I can advertise that this thing is possible. I've got to say it has been tried and proven in my ads. He worked out the entire thing. When these 20 men, all multimillionaires, for this is one of the huge industries of the world, this is an international industry. When he worked the entire thing out and presented it to these 20 men on the board, they thought themselves above all this. They were ethically above all things. Their moral code would not allow it. But my friend persuaded them that this is how a law operates, that imagining creates reality. So if you want something created, leave it to me. I will take your desire. I'll make it something that is already a fact. You voice it. The first quarter of this year, that industry not only arrested the motion down, turned it around, And their profits, not their gross, their profits the first quarter of this year was $75 million more than the first quarter of last year. $75 million more. I was speaking of a net profit. Now these wise men with their wonderful ethical codes, they allow it. They saw the money in the bank. They saw all these things, and their so-called ethical moral codes went through the window because they saw another principle which they did not know. His competitor, I saw the letter, his competitor in the advertising field wrote the boss, my friend's boss. He said, you know, I take my hat off to you. You use the principle that we've always used in our work, which was a darn lie. He never did it at all. He said, I know exactly what you did. He's trying to fish him out to find out what he's doing. And in this data, he makes the claim that he actually knew and they've always used it. And no one can work for our concern unless he's aware of this principle and lives by it. We aren't concerned about his religious background. He could be a Catholic, Protestant, Jew, or an atheist. But he has to live by this principle. And I saw that letter. The man was fishing. Just fishing to get the one who really conceived it to come forward and tell him what he did. Well, here is the same one in the barbershop. He goes there every Saturday morning by appointment, and the boss barber waits for it, right on the dot. Every Saturday he is right there for this chap. He loves him, and he took him from the low man on the totem pole and pushed him right out. He realized the man likes cutting hair. That's what he likes. He just loves it. All right, then be the best. If you like it, be the very best in the trade. Tell me what you want. Maybe you want to be a wife. Keeping a home. What's wrong with that? My mother never went to work. She just had 10 children and lived at home with her full complement of servants. My sister has never worked, so she lives at home with her servants. My wife worked until I could afford to keep her. Then when I could afford to keep her, then I said, no, you stop. So she stopped. That's, well, almost 2 years after we got married. 2 years afterwards, I could afford to keep her. But now, from now on, you don't work. And so she hasn't gone back to work. So tell me what you want, and then let me persuade myself that what you really want, you have. To the degree that I am self-persuaded that you have it, you'll get it. If I can't persuade myself, well, then I have failed. But I haven't misspent the energy, because I tried it lovingly. So any time you use your imagination lovingly on behalf of another, you use it wisely. Even if you didn't succeed in producing the results that you're seeking, you used it wisely.